In today's episode of the Brisbane Property Podcast, we welcome Matthew Jabs, the number one sales agent for the Place Group for the last 8 years. And he's going to be sharing some tips and insights on purchasing property in the inner north parts of Brisbane. Lots of value add today.
Welcome to the Brisbane Property Podcast with your hosts, Melinda and Scott Jennison from Streamline Property Buyers, your local Brisbane property specialists.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of the Brisbane Property Podcast with Scott and Melinda Jennison. And we've got a special guest today. We've got Matthew Jabs from Place in Newmarket. Welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you as part of the podcast, Matthew. We've known each other for many years, and it's a privilege, actually, to have you come in and share your experience in the industry. Just going to give a bit of a plug for you there. So the number one selling agent in the Place Group for the last 8 years, it's a pretty good accolade. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
How did that come about?
Look, I've been in real estate for 20 years. I'm 40 this year. So I started as a young, agent, learning the ropes, washing cars, doing all the basics. Not in Brisbane, in a regional area, so I couldn't get a start in Brisbane. So I went 4 hours north. So I worked in regional markets as well. And then I came to Brisbane and was with one of the big companies and then sort of moved towards Place because they were evolving and got a great relationship with the owners of Place as well. Know them all really well. And I enjoy working with the group, but also independently on my own bat. I'm sort of do my own thing and enjoy that and under the Place banner, which is great.
You've got your own team, haven't you, to work with?
Yep, got a team and a lot of them worked with them for 10 years plus. Ross is my brother-in-law. Danny, we're very good friends, so we all work together for a while and it just works.
And specialise inner north Brisbane, obviously houses, units, all that, any residential in the inner north?
Initially started in that Kedron area,
yep.
You know, selling units. So back when Kevin 07 was around, mm-hmm. When they doubled the building, the first home buyers boost. So I was selling $280,000 units. Overnight, they went to 320. Based on that incentive. So I was knocking on doors of two-bedroom units and that was my bread and butter. And then over the years, I've eventually got into the housing market. As you mature as an agent, you know, people don't always trust a 21-year-old with their big home.
Yeah, that's true.
As you get a bit older, they look at you and a lot of your clients grow as well and get a bit older and get a bit more established. So that's sort of how I've grown to that inner north market. Mm. Live in the area of Wilston as well and kids go to school here as well. So that's in a nutshell. I know the north really well. Don't know the south, the west, or other areas, but I know the north like the back of my hand.
I know you're pretty passionate about property and investing as well, mate. And I know you're involved in it personally, like we are. When you talked about just then, when you talked about going from units, I wish I'd bought some of those 280s, by the way.
Yeah.
should have bought a few of them. We all should have bought them, but I know then you've moved into different areas and you have done a lot and I've been through a lot of those houses of those knockdown rebuilds that people are doing and they're still popular obviously in Brisbane.
Yeah, like the market evolves and goes through many different stages. Right at the moment you've got a market where you've got instability in building. A lot of people are sitting in their homes that they want to renovate or get a bigger home, but they just are too scared to renovate with the media around, you know, builders going bust. Also the cost increases that have happened. And it might also be the first time they've actually ever done something that big. So at the moment, the way the market's poised is people are preferring to buy the finished products and have that doubt eliminated straight away. So there has been times in the market, you know, 10 years ago where it was better value to buy land and build and they were picking up equity on the end of it. So the market does go through different phases. About 4 to 5 years ago, I was selling a lot of land. I was selling about 25 blocks a year, just small infill developments in, you know, the Everton Parks, the Mitcheltons, the Kedrons. But now land is probably the hardest property to sell.
Yeah,
because people financing, it's an issue, but also building, it's quite a headache as well. So
it's interesting you mentioned, you know, in the past that land was, you know, a big part of what you sold and specifically infill land. So for those listeners that don't understand what we mean by infill land, that is land that perhaps previously was occupied by a larger home, one home on two lots or one home on a single lot, but it had the potential to remove the home, demolish that home, and then subdivide the land so that you can create more lots. They're the sorts of properties I'm assuming, or the sorts of land that I'm assuming you're referring to.
Yeah, so if you look at the north side, you've got that Windsor Wilson Grange, which was developed maybe 30s, 40s. So a lot of those homes you can't move, and a lot of those areas have been developed or renovated.
Yeah.
Then you step out to the next ring, which is your Kedron, Wavells, Everton Park, Mitchelton, and they were developed in the 50s to 60s. So there's a lot of, yeah, as you say, you know, old homes on two lots, or and they are post-war. So you can, from a development point of view, we meet a lot of developers and they get their feet wet in that section of the market, and they knock an old house over and sell two blocks, or they might sell one block to fund the build. So there's options. They're getting a little bit harder to find, but, you know, as I say, 4 or 5 years ago, that was a really popular way to generate money quickly. But yeah, recently we've seen the sort of 607 market evolve as well. So areas like Wavell, Kedron, Ashgrove, Anagra is a really big one. We've seen people buy the post-wars, knock them over, build, and then sell for a profit.
So literally a one block of about a 607 into another single block. So knock down the old home, redesign a big, large family home and rebuild on the same site. So no subdivision involved.
Yeah, and no subdivision involved is a big topic at the moment because councils, you know, they used to take 3 to 6 months. Now they're taking 12 to 18 months. Subdivisions used to be 80 to 90,000. Now they're 150 plus. There's a lot more time wasted in that period. So those are all things you really need to consider when buying as well.
It's interesting. We do have a lot of people inquire, you know, to our service about buying splitter blocks or buying subdividable blocks here in Brisbane. And what you've pointed out there, first and foremost, is that there's fewer of them. They're becoming more scarce as people have built out a lot of these blocks. But second, it's a lot more expensive to develop the blocks. So therefore, you know, it's one thing to purchase the blocks, but then to make a profitable development off the back of the purchase, that's going to become harder over time, or it has become harder over time. Are you finding that a lot of the buyers that are purchasing these blocks that still have the ability to be subdivided are holding them, or are they getting in and developing those blocks straight away?
I think it depends on their strategy. Like we've got clients that say, look, we're on good income. We just want something for the future. Maybe like kids want a couple of blocks or something. We'll just sit on it and wait. And they're probably the buyers that will pay a bit of a premium for that particular property. The ones that want to make money right here and right now are probably not going to be the ones that push to buy that property. I've met a guy this morning that said to me, you know, we built the house on a block 607. We made $60,000 in 2 years. So
they would have been better off holding it and the capital appreciation alone.
Yeah. So look, there are hidden costs, and you know, you need that advice along the way. But I think if you're a medium to long-term investor buying in some of these areas and holding, you know, right at the moment, my advice, and I'm not a financial advisor or anything, but my sort of opinion would be to sit and hold while the building industry sorts itself out.
Yeah. It's and even that land bank, as you talk about, for people that, let's say, want to be developers, it's tough because you're paying someone else to do a role as well. So you're paying your development side of it, you're paying your builder. So there's all those margins that go on top, and it makes it really difficult at the moment, which is what you're talking about, buying hold that land bank and let it sit and appreciate over value, get the equity. Hopefully, hopefully construction will settle down. I think we've seen a lot of material prices settle. It's the labor instability at the moment in the construction that's a little bit unknown, I think, as well.
Yeah, a lot of the builders are saying, you know, we're not making the money. It's the tradies that are on $80 an hour to tile a bathroom or something that's really hurting. So that's an issue. But the other thing I get a lot of calls on is, you know, people ringing me and say, oh, I've seen this double block on Sanford Road. How does that compare to the one you're selling in Alfreda Street, which is a lovely street? And I say, and obviously they're not local because they don't know how much traffic runs through Sanford Road. So, you know, there is this element of, well, of people hearing about Brisbane, calling an agent on any property and then just buying it for the sake of it. So,
yeah.
You know, I've seen properties transact 5 years after they bought it for the same price, you know, and that that's probably going to put that buyer off from buying ever again.
100% and slow them down in their equity building position. It's funny you mentioned that. And for a lot of people listening to this podcast that don't have the local knowledge, when you talk about an area like Sanford Road versus Alfreda Street, we are talking about a very busy thoroughfare, main road through a suburb versus a quiet residential street that really only carries local traffic. And of course, when you're considering properties or land value on a main road location versus a quiet residential street, even if it's the same size, the value per square meter will vary significantly. And this is where understanding the market at a local level makes so much sense. And you are right. It's not just interstate buyers that are doing it on their own. It's actually interstate buyers that are using agents to represent them that are not local on the ground. And therefore, they may not understand those nuances of a local market. So it's definitely something to be mindful of. Not all land is created equal. It might be in the same suburb, but depending on where within that suburb the land is located, the value per square meter can vary significantly, despite the fact that the cost of construction will not vary, because obviously, you know, the only variation you can get in construction cost is by varying the quality that you're actually building. But it's going to, you know, a subby is going to charge the same amount regardless of where they're building, and the material cost is the same regardless of where they're building. Super important point for anyone that's investigating this as an investment strategy.
Matthew, obviously people understanding the understanding their trade and knowing what they do in their business. Are you a local Brisbane born and bred?
I was born actually 4 hours north.
Yep.
Came to school here in Brisbane and then went back up north.
To start the real estate. Yeah. So obviously 20 odd years ago. What made you get into real estate?
I was just fascinated with, you know, the flexibility, not being in the office all the time.
Yep.
I loved, you know, the different aspects, different properties, meeting different people. And I enjoy, you know, the thrill of the chase as well. You know, there's some excitement around getting a big sale for someone or helping someone as well.
So from washing cars that you said at the start to now a lead agent and obviously, as we said, 8 years number one selling agent with Place, what changes have you seen? What are some of the big things that you've seen change in real estate? Apart from, I'll go back in my age, you said you're 40, I'm 55, and we used to jump in a car with a real estate agent after looking at the Courier Mail sales pages and go driving around with an agent.
Yeah.
None of that happens these days at all. What's some of the big changes you've seen?
Well, I know when I first started, you know, we used to have one computer in the office and we'd have a camera, we'd hook up to the computer, we'd go out and take photos, we'd knock up a sign. There was no realestate.com that had just started, and it was the local paper. So, you know, everything's changed in terms of technology and how we market properties now. But also things have changed in terms of locally in the last 5 years, things like school catchments. Mm. You know, 5 to 10 years ago, there was probably only one or two buyer's agents in Brisbane.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, now there's a lot of them. So the market's evolved and there's a lot of good things that have evolved. Mm. I enjoy, you know, meeting the people through the marketing, and I've met fascinating people over the years. There's been a massive change, and I think there will be more change in time. Yeah. You know, there's the social media side of it now. I think in 10 years' time, we'll probably be just transacting homes on social media.
Mm.
There won't be a real estate common domain, you know, so things will change again.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you've got that outlook, because obviously, yeah, we're intrigued from a buyer's agent's perspective in terms of where sales agents see the industry going. And there's certainly been a big push more recently on social media, especially for, you know, pre-market or off-market opportunities where we can actually connect with sales agents and find those opportunities without needing the medium of realestate.com or domain to, you know, facilitate that transaction.
Yeah, like every day we put up a reel on Instagram and we'll have three or four maybe buyers or buyer's agents contact, say, "Wait, where's that one? Where's that one?"
Yeah, yeah.
So it is a way of the future for sure.
Yeah. Mm. And dealing with, we talked earlier on about what you love about real estate, and what excites you. And I know that, you know, from investments or new builds, what sort of things really excite you in working in real estate?
Well, I know when you rang me, you asked me, you know, what what do you want to talk about? And I said, oh, I really am fascinated with the behavior of particularly successful people in property.
Yep.
I've got clients that pay a couple of hundred grand a year in land tax because they own so much property.
Yeah.
And they're just regular guys. They roll around in shorts and a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know who they are, but you know, they've had opportunities along the way to buy service stations or apartment blocks, you know, that sort of thing. So I enjoy watching how they live. And, you know, a lot of these guys don't go to fancy restaurants or drive fancy cars. They see the value in property. And, you know, if you thought about COVID, if you held 10 properties and they all went up 20, 30, 40%, yep. That's a life-changing investment strategy there. So, yeah, I enjoy meeting people like that are unassuming. And,
yep.
You know, I met a guy this morning who owns 7 properties in the inner north, and I've never realized that. And, you know, those are the sort of people that I love learning from because they've seen different cycles, different, you know, market conditions, but they've got this unwavering mentality that buying residential real estate is the way to go for them.
And yet you see at the opposite end of the spectrum, the people that might have one property or just starting out in their career and they've got a level of confidence that is very different. And, you know, they come across as being overconfident potentially. They know more than they actually do know. So there's so many people out there that, you know, sit within that spectrum, I guess.
Yeah, and then the really sad part of it is you walk into a property that's rented and you talk to the tenants. And the tenants have been renting for years.
Yeah.
And they've just never been able to get into the market. Maybe they haven't had that education in terms of their family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't understood the value of getting into a property. And
their
rents continue to go up and they're being pushed out and out and out. You know? So I know one thing my mum always said was if you can get your own property, that's a huge start. You know, you've got it base. Is.
Yeah.
Don't pay someone else's mortgage off, pay your own.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. In that, just back on that new build side of things, are you seeing much stock on that side of it? Is there much around coming to the market at the moment? Or I know it was fair, you were really active there for a while in Wavell Heights and selling some beautiful houses, some we went through, some we probably even helped purchased off to you for a client. But, you know, beautiful homes, really well finished. They are popular. And as you said, people love a finished product. They just want to move in and live and get life happening and they don't want the risk of that construction. Are you seeing much in that space at the moment?
Look, the building approvals have definitely dropped. So there's not as much stock in that space. There's also the fact that, you know, some of these suburbs have had a lot of attention. So the opportunities aren't there as much either.
Yep.
Wavell Heights is broken into basically four areas. You know, there's some streets that you'd pay more for.
Yep.
You know, that sort of city side of Rodie Road, for example, is probably the best place to develop. So there's different areas as well. And often there's, so around about a year ago, we had that little correction. There was some good opportunities in that post-war space.
Yes.
But now they've sort of really started to push up again. So there's builders that say to me, hey, if I buy this for 1.3 and it costs me 1.2 to build it, and I'm only making 1.2728, it's not worth it. Often suburbs will go through those phases where it just doesn't make sense to invest and develop.
And so are you finding that a lot of the, you know, developers that are in this market, are they sitting on the sidelines waiting for construction costs to settle, or are they accumulating sites and just land banking for when the market enables them to lock in that development profit? What are they doing at the moment?
Well, I think you've got a few different sort of operations. You got your actual proper builders who are developers. Now the builders often struggle with finance because they might have a lot of assets, but they don't have the cash flow to support
serviceability.
So, you know, there's a couple that have mastered that side of it and they're doing multiple homes, you know, that are coming out. The risk with that scenario is they have to buy homes even if they're not going to necessarily do well. So they've got to feed the machine. There's also the buyers that, you know, might go to a locals builder and ask them to build for them. So right at the moment, that's probably not going to make a huge amount of sense until we see a bit more of an uplift on the values. So, you know, that for those guys, I'd be saying, look, just buy some quality real estate, rent it out. The rents are actually really good at the moment. Obviously moved a lot.
That's right.
So you can get better rents. And then if you get two or three, you know, in good areas, and you can start picking them off when the time's right. So those are probably the two trains of thought. The mum and dad investors aren't doing as many developments. Maybe if they've owned it for 10 years and they've seen some good growth, that's a different story. But to go and buy them now and then build straight away, there's not a huge margin at the moment.
Yeah, that's true. And are you seeing many people in that space that they might be buying, developing, and then refinancing and renting the end product, or are you finding most people end up selling?
The rental scenario is where they might buy a double block.
Yeah.
They might build to sell one and keep one.
Yeah.
And obviously they've reduced their, you know, the level that they owe on that second one. A lot of builders say to me, you make your money on the second one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, being able to maybe it's worth $2 million and it owes you 1.3.
Yeah.
You know, you've got that equity, then you're getting maybe $1,200 a week, and then you can then reborrow and go again on something else.
Yeah.
So I've also got a lot of clients that say, look, the way the taxation system's set up, if we sell, we're going to just get hammered.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's use that as our bank and then go again to build again.
I mean, equity. Yeah.
There's one local investor in this area that was telling me the other day, he's got, you know, 35 units and 3 houses, and he's got enough income coming from those to not have to work, you know. So
yes, yeah.
Didn't happen overnight. It's a 30-year goal. But,
yes, yeah.
But, you know, that's the sort of thing that can happen as well.
Yeah. And, of course, depreciation benefits are really high when you are renting out a brand new product as opposed to something that might be secondhand as well. So there's lots of different strategies. And of course, that's going to depend on an individual's circumstances as to which direction they might like to go. But can I ask, in terms of the buy-in price, I mean, those knockdown rebuilds, you know, we're seeing some, you pointed out, we saw some strong activity in that space. And then in 2022, prices really came backward when interest rates started to increase. And now a lot of those prices have recovered. For any listeners out there that are looking at something that could be knocked down and redeveloped either now or in the future, what's your entry level price point sort of for various suburbs around the inner north?
Yeah. So if you're looking at that, so Kedron and Wave all work together. They're very similar. They're sort of one or a million probably for that outer part of Wavell that
entry level.
Geelong. And then you've got that inner part, which is sort of 1.3 to 1.4 for a really quality site. A grade position, same as Kedron if you're in the avenues, which is probably the highly regarded area. And then there's some other areas that probably come off cheaper from there. That sort of mirrors the Enoggera area as well. Enoggera Orderly, you'll pay that sort of 1 to 1.5 depending on your locations. And Ashgrove probably peaks again because it's got the name, and but there's also not a lot of stock in that post
because
space.
Of the character protection.
Yeah, what really excites me is the next ring out as well. So I know you bought one office in Geebung probably 10 years ago.
Yes.
That would have been probably doubled.
It's a splitter. Now. Our clients waiting patiently for that one to be redeveloped. Yeah,
yeah,
good one.
Yeah, so like you look at that next ring, which is Geebung. So Geebung's had some upgrades in the main street. It's had an overpass in the train line.
Yeah.
It's on a train line. It's on two major train lines. It's close to the airport, close to the highways.
Yep.
That's just got all the elements to go, you know. So that's
the next place.
Yeah. So the Geebungs, the Banyos, the Virginias, those areas really excite me because they're quite affordable as well.
Yes.
The other thing you got coming out of the as a bit of a trend as well as, you know, you're seeing the 600 square meter blocks that can be cut in half. So if you're within that 200 square meters of shops, you can then split those blocks. So the Boondles, the Virginias, those areas are really, if you're an investor sitting out there thinking, I'm never going to get anything under $1 million that you can do anything with, well, there's been some recent transactions in the 750 to 8 range where you can split them in half. So, you know, that's the other part of it that excites me is the next ring out and Brisbane growing in general.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to remind our listeners that with some of those numbers that Matthew just shared, we're talking knockdown quality homes here. So if you're shopping in the likes of Kedron or Wavell Heights, to be in the better parts of the suburbs for a knockdown quality property, you're looking 1.3 to 1.4. So they might be rentable as is, but very basic entry level. And therefore, it's important for people to understand that. I know a lot of people that we work with, we spend a lot of time educating them on value and on price. And quite often the expectations of a buyer might not be aligned with the market. So every location will have a different value per square meter for the land itself. And so regardless of the same suburb, the size of the land will be, you know, of different value depending on where you are in that suburb. So important to understand. And then, of course, when you talk around Ashgrove and Anogra, anywhere from 1 mil all the way up to 1.5 for a 600 square meter knockdown quality property. Again, it's just important for investors or developers to understand that this is entry level price for the land itself, because we've then got to knock the property down before we rebuild. So there's some entry level numbers for people to understand the costs of getting into this space.
And I think you shared a few secrets there with our listeners too, on locations and ideas of what to buy. But what
real
are you then?
Gold.
What are you seeing from sellers? Now, we've seen low listing numbers for quite a while in Brisbane. The conversations you're having with sellers, what are they thinking? What's their appetite? Are they reluctant to sell? And what are you seeing in the selling space?
There's a lot of different conversations. There's people that are in big homes that are feeling the pinch that want to reduce mortgages. So the townhouse space is really busy at the moment. You know, between that 900 and a million for a 3-bedroom townhouse is very, very busy. We're also seeing people that, you know, they've got two kids, a family of four in a 2.5-bedroom house. Mm-hmm. You know, they need to go up.
Upsize.
Yeah. They don't want to renovate. They want something done.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's many, many different conversations going, but I think we've sort of gone back to a stable market now where people have enough confidence to go and probably my advice would be to get finance and bridge it and then buy, you know, rather than be out of the market.
Yes, yes.
Because during COVID, we saw a lot of people out of the market that got left behind. People that had budgets for a Grange or a Wilson that ended up having to buy in a Kedron or a Wavell or a further out suburbs. So, you know, even to friends and family, I say, look, try not to leave the market too long.
That's right.
In that respect. But I guess just going back to your point there, Scott, about, you know, what I see people do wrong in this development space. And over the years I've seen, you know, a suburb where someone's bought the land for 700, for example, 2 405 blocks. One guy goes and spends 800 on the build and he sells it for 1.8. The other guy goes and spends 1.1.
Yeah.
But only gets another 50 compared to next door. And he sort of was working on what he'd like in the house personally, rather than what the market would really want and what the market would pay. So not getting too emotionally involved in the build and research is a key there.
Absolutely.
But also location's a key. You know, we get, again, calls saying, oh, I've seen this block. We look on the aerials and it's one house off Sanford Road or a main road. And you think, that's not going to achieve as much as the one 100 metres down the road. So those locations are really critical.
Yeah, and you've got to build, as you just mentioned, you've got to build to suit the area.
Yeah,
don't build what you want. You want this big, beautiful contemporary home.
That's right.
Where there's all the Queenslanders.
Yeah,
it might not suit everyone in that area, so it could find it hard to either to sell it off later on, and you might not, as you said, you might not get back what you invest in it as well.
Yeah, we always focus on. So if you go to an Ashgrove, you'd build a traditional facade.
Yeah. Mm.
If you went to a Hendra, you could probably do a more modern facade. Yep. Mm. So every suburb's got their different expectations, but we spend a lot of time with our clients in the early stages talking about floor plan and facade. And if we nail those two, most of the time you're 95% there.
Yeah. No, that's good advice. And what are your conversations like with buyers at the moment? Are you getting a sense, because of the low stock environment, that there's that fear of missing out coming back into the market? Or are you feeling like the sort of properties that you are selling, buyer activity has moderated?
Yeah. So we sell a number of different price ranges, and different price ranges will use a different method. So, you know, Ogden would be suitable for the 2.5+ range, but for a first home unit, we wouldn't auction it. We'd go to the market for sale, because those first home buyers wouldn't be used to an auction. It might scare them off. So in terms of, buyer discussions, you know, post-COVID, a lot of people have finance approvals or pre-approval. That's amazing. That's a major thing. If they don't have anything in place, we'll be reluctant to work with them because we could waste 14, 21 days with the property. So probably buyer preparation is key in that side of it. And when you've got 40 people through a house, you as an agent, you can have that luxury of picking and choosing who you'll work with.
Yes.
So a lot of these buyers will end up oh, we've been in the market for a month and they might miss a few.
Yes.
Then the market will educate them on, okay, well, we need to get our finance ready. We need to make quick decisions. We need to have our team around us, our town planner. We need to look at the flood maps. We need to know all this stuff so that we're ready to go, you know, make a really firm offer. Obviously, with an auction, you've got to be unconditional in that time frame. So that's a big one. But, you know, a lot of these properties are getting competition around them. So, yeah, preparation is key with buyers.
Makes sense. Maybe they need a buyer's agent to help them prepare, because sometimes buyers don't know how to get that competitive advantage, especially when there are a lot of other buyers in the market that they're competing with. So obviously being in a position to move quickly, ensure the due diligence is all done up front and understand value. They're three critical pieces within a market where there's low stock.
You've got some young kids. Do you follow sport? And who's your favourite sporting team?
So I am involved with the local soccer club, Brisbane City Football Club. I've got two boys, 8 and 5. So one loves soccer, one loves dancing.
Okay.
So totally different personalities. But that's fantastic. I love that. I enjoy basketball and football. There's probably two things. So I don't get to do a lot of that now, and it's probably too risky. I don't want to turn up to an open home with a broken ankle, but
So you'd be taking the boys to, well, at least one of them to watch the Raw play, I guess.
Yeah, Raw, the Bullets.
Yep.
I know a few of the Bullets players. So, yeah, that's my life pretty much, is real estate, married, and then two kids.
Yeah. Coffee?
Love coffee.
What's your favourite coffee?
I'm just a simple flat white.
Flat white and local coffee shop?
I actually like the Pottery one.
Oh, yeah, down in the corner. Yeah.
It's good.
There you go.
I'm trying to think of the name of it. Mama.
Yeah, I can't.
So it's a local. It's a local one
corner of
down on Newmarket Road.
Yeah, they've got dogs there. They do.
They do. It's a dog cafe. Corner of a
couple of ladies own it.
Newmarket Road and Kedron Brook Road, I believe.
You can tell.
That office works.
You can obviously tell when we talk to you, you're passionate about real estate. You love the local area, and you know the local area because you've mentioned different streets that obviously most of our listeners would not have a clue what you're talking about.
Sure.
So it's that local knowledge, and we talk about this a lot. Mm. And that's, to me, that's really, really valuable. If people are looking, like, who's your ideal seller?
We're more about the person.
Yep.
So if we, you know, we've been doing it a long time, so we get a lot of repeat clients.
Yep.
You know, we have the luxury if someone's not the right person, we move them on. But we're more about the people as well. But because we have worked in that new build space a lot, we meet a lot of developers and they ask us, they call us, hey, we saw you've sold that. Can you have a look at this? And those conversations lead on. But we're open to anything, you know, in that space.
So anything but the right person in that inner north area, how do they get in touch with you guys?
Just Google us when we're online and you can see us.
So Matthew Jabb's team,
that's fine.
Place at Newmarket.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Look, we've bought from you guys before. We've known you for quite a while and see you out and about, and you guys do present properties very, very well, and you do take care of your clients. So if anyone's in the inner north area and you're thinking of selling, give you Matthew and the team a call. I'm sure they'd love to have a chat and take care of you as well. Mate, look, thank you very much for taking the time out. We really appreciate it. I know you're a long-time listener of the podcast, so we finally got you on here. We've talked about it for quite a while. So thank you for taking the time. We really do appreciate it. From myself, I will let Melinda wrap it up as I normally do. Thanks to Matthew for taking his time to come and have a chat. From me, take care and bye for now.
Yes, thanks, Matthew. Really appreciate your time today.
No worries.
As always, thanks for joining us once again on the Brisbane Property Podcast. If you have enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to leave us a review. Share the episode with friends and family. It does help others to get this valuable information as they need it. As always, we hope you have a fantastic week and we look forward to speaking with you again soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in today. Please remember, everything we have spoken about on this podcast is general in nature, and we always recommend that you obtain independent advice in relation to your specific circumstances. If you liked today's episode, don't forget to subscribe or leave us a review on iTunes. And of course, tell your friends about us. If you would like to get in contact, please visit www.brisbanepropertypodcast.com.au or email us at info@brisbanepropertypodcast.com.au. Feel free to send in any questions, and we will try to answer them in future episodes.